You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Ecclesiastes and chapter 3. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, here we are, so help us. Thank you again, Spirit of God, as you take your word and bring it home to our heart, because, Lord, of your death, burial, and resurrection, to make it possible for us, Father, to honor you. And our Father, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. We did an exercise in the study of time. What is time in Sunday school? And in the light of that, and it's a time change of the year from a human standpoint, the calendar. And so therefore, in chapter 3, you remember, of all the word time is used many, many, many times. But in chapter 3, verse 1, to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven. Time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, time to pluck up that which is planted, etc. And as just time, everything has a positive and a negative. It's one, on the one hand you have it, and the next minute you don't have it. You live, you die. You plant and you pluck up. Now, verse 9 even. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. So, here we are, the profit and loss. We come and go. And we have one day and we lose the next day, and back and forth. And when we're all done, what do we have? Now, God, what do we need to understand in adding to what we did? Is verse 11. God hath made everything beautiful, useful, wonderfully practical, useful in his time. Everything has a place and a purpose. He also has set the world. The world is the word eternity. He put eternity in our heart, in their heart. So that we aren't, as we shared, a bird or a duck or a cantaloupe. We're humans, and we're made in the image and likeness of God, and we're made for eternity. That's how God put us in these bodies, physical body, in order that we might enjoy God's awesome forever. God made us for eternity. In time we live, as we'll see. God made us for eternity. And he put eternity, timelessness in our heart. We cannot exercise and enjoy being on planet Earth in time if we leave out in time. Time answers to God's eternity. And therefore, we are not just here is but for a moment. Eternity is what is but forever. God meant us to enjoy one God's awesome, wonderful person for eternity. We're made for eternity, not for time. Time is but a moment. And therefore, in verse 11, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. So if we leave God out of the picture, we're stuck on planet Earth. And we're going through time. And remember, we shared just did in Sunday school and that, Einstein, all those things. That time has no measurement to it. There is no measurement to time. You can't measure time. And we did that. And time can never be held. You never can hold time. You can't capture it. You can't measure it. You can't keep it. And therefore, it's as we did, I can't do all of that in a process. And God, you can't keep it. So, one little thing, your seconds, 1 second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds, 4 seconds, 4 seconds, 5 seconds. But I couldn't capture five. Before I could say five, it became six and seven and eight. It's impossible to hold time. Can't do it as we did. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, we're creatures of time. And in the process, if I can, here, it's New Year's Day, then. Here is just a little, I could have been a big calendar, but here's a little one. Little calendar, August 2022. What am I going to do with 2022? Nothing. What are you going to do with 2022? It's gone. The same as that second you couldn't hold. It's gone. Never can have it back. Have your memories. You can never have the second back. Never have it back. No God. So in the light of that, and you know the expression, time and tide wait for nobody. Time and tide waits for nobody. Can't stop it, can't control it, and we're governed by God's awesome outworking in his timelessness. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so we bring, and you know, we know we are in the process. We can do nothing. We can do nothing to change, nothing to fix yesterday. It's all gone. So therefore, to stop and fix something, you can't do it because the clock doesn't stop. The calendar doesn't stop. It just keeps going and going and going. Therefore, over to Isaiah 9, and in verse 6. What about our Lord's wonderful person? And in Isaiah chapter 9, picking up, if I may, in verse 6. So here we are, the Lord Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem of Judea. And verse 6, if I may go directly. For unto us a child is born, in his physical birth by the Virgin Mary, and a son is given, God, the incarnation. God unites himself perfectly to the perfect humanity born by the Virgin Mary, the God-man, one person. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's the Everlasting Father. He's the Eternal God, the Timeless God. He is. God in his timelessness limited himself for a moment, in other words, to outwork his wonderful plan and purpose. His awesome, think of Sunday school, his awesome now, N-O-W, now, he's working out. And in the process of God's doing that, he is the God, God the God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, when we receive him as our Savior, as we shared last week, the gift, God's eternal life, is in the giver, God the Father. So when I receive the eternal life, what am I receiving? God in all of his fullness, chapter 6, 9 of verse 6. God in all of his fullness. So then, the giver, God, gives us his gifts, his wonderful gifts in his life. How are we going to find all of the wonderful, wonderful purpose of God, the benefits of God, in the wonderful person of our Lord Jesus Christ? In Christ, the gift is God, the giver. And everything is ever whatever is to be had, God, the only Savior, the Creator, makes it happen. He makes it happen in a most wonderful way. It's all found in Him. Therefore, Philippians, so when I receive Christ as my Savior, God gives me Himself, and all that is to ever be had is in Him. So I don't have to look for it. I don't have to find it. I don't have to worry about ever having it, because I can't lose it. It can't disappear. It belongs to whom? God, the giver. So everything that God has for your heart and my heart is in Himself. And when He gave Himself to you, you have everything that God ever has in forever to give you is in Christ. Now, therefore, us, those that have a relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, chapter Philippians 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's an awesome exercise. What are we exercising? We aren't exercising our physical life. We're exercising, and we aren't exercising our relationship to persons, time, where we live, where we go to work, where we go to school, whatever. All of that's there. All of that exists. What are we working out? Our unique, wonderful relationship to God. Work out your own God's saving grace. He's the giver. He gives the gifts. All the gifts are in His Son. You already got them if you're saved. And God's going to go and make that. That's what you're working out, your relationship to God. And therefore, verse 12, God, that's God's business. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you, underline, if that's true, if that's true, what's He working in you? The outworking of His good, wonderful, wonderful plan for your life. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It is God's pleasure to be God in your life. It is not a demand. It is not, you don't demand it. You don't earn it. You didn't deserve it. God did it in His grace and His gift. God created us for eternity to enjoy Him in a most wonderful way. Therefore, with that in mind, and we titled it leaving what? We've got to leave all of the yesterday. Got to leave yet? You got to leave even before you walked in the building. You've got to leave. That's all gone. Walking up the hill, walking in the door, it's all gone. Every single second, every single minute you went, all of that has disappeared. Now, having said that, so what are we going? Well, what do we need to know about yesterday? What do we need to keep in mind about yesterday? And without turning there, at least, 1 Timothy 6 and 7, we brought nothing into the world, and we surely are going to take nothing out. So, here we are sitting here with all that we have. We brought nothing in, and we take nothing out. And we're made for eternity. We're made forever for God. So we have nothing. So here we are on planet Earth. And what else do we know? Well, we know from Genesis 3 and 19 and that, because of Adam's sin, we're made from the dust of the ground. We are dust. And to prove it, we'll die and become a can of dust. Dust we are, and dust we're going to become. So far, we've got, what have we got? We've got to understand God, we're going to leave behind. What are we leaving behind? Well, we didn't bring nothing in. And when we're going out, we have nothing. We're going to leave it, dust. So therefore, keeping that in mind, and God made us in his image and likeness to be able to enjoy him and know him forever. God saves us for himself in a most wonderful way. And God put in you a soul and spirit. The body is going to die. We're going to put the body in the ground, becomes dust. But you are more than a piece of dust. You're more than just physical flesh and blood and brains and brawn. You're a person inside, and that person is meant to live forever. And it's meant to know and enjoy God in his awesome, wonderful person, to know him. And therefore, we have our physical birth in order to have a spiritual birth, a wonderful relationship to God. It is required that we be born physically, to be alive eternally, soul and spirit, to be able to enjoy God in a most wonderful way. Now, we can't enjoy God in a most wonderful way if God doesn't make provision for it in the light of the fact that sin breaks our relationship to God. So we have to have that restored. So we know from Romans, if you may want to turn there for a moment, two things, Romans in chapter 6. And in Romans chapter 6, you're going to recall, Christ has to go to the cross to fix the relationship. And the reason that has to be fixed is because 6 and 23 of Romans. For the wages, the cost of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life in or through in Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ our Lord. Where's the gift? It's in Christ. What does he need? Christ has to go and die on the cross to give us that gift. The penalty has to be paid. You can't give the gift of life to dead people. If we have a coffin up here and we put whatever in it, somebody in it, and you could have, let's have a Christmas, let's have a birthday party or a Christmas party or something. And you could bring all your gifts. What good would the gifts be to the person in the coffin? They are no value to the person in the coffin. As long as we're dead in sins, we have no, there's nothing. So all that God gives, he can't give it to dead people. They've got to come to know the Lord as their Savior and become alive. Then God can give them life. Whose life? His life. Therefore, we read over to chapter 6 and in verse 3. Know you not, as so many of us as were baptized, placed into, identified with, unto Jesus Christ, were baptized, identified into his death. Therefore, since he died for us, took our place, perfect Savior, perfect substitute. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism, identification, into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. What kind of life? For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And God gives us a wonderful, wonderful gift, the gift of eternal life, and we didn't have it. Sliding down, if I can, you'll see it. Verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Sin. God has to take care of the penalty. The wages of sin is death. Verse 8, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, verse 9, being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. We died so that we can have eternal, wonderful gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus. What? How are we supposed to exercise this truth? Verse 11, likewise reckon, calculate, compute ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Recognize your wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing that God has done for you. Christ did what? So he terminated all of what? All of everything in us, about us. All that was wrong, all that never could be right, from our birth unto our death, God did it in the most wonderful way, so that we're able to go and reckon, to calculate, to compute this relationship. Therefore, over to Galatians, what are you going to say if you know the Lord? It's true. I have to understand it and exercise it. Galatians chapter 2, what are we going to say if we're saved? We're going to say, verse 20, chapter 2, Galatians, I am crucified with Christ. That's what we're going to say. How did you get this gift of life? How did you get this relationship? Christ took my place on Calvary's cross and died. He took my place. The wages of sin is death, and I was a sinner, and I was dead in trespasses and sin. So everything that God could say in his word, all the wonderful plans and purpose for my life, could never, never happen because I was dead. I lost my relationship to God who makes it all happen. Therefore, in verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by or in the faith, the body of truth, to be believed the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. God's wonderful, wonderful person, and I'm trusting God's wonderful, wonderful person who gives me his awesome life, and I'm able to go and look to God in a most wonderful way. All of that took place yesterday. It's all done, so that what? He's finished. Word on the cross, it is finished. All done. Price is paid. God is satisfied, propitiated. God is satisfied, finished. So now you can give me something because it's finished. Finished. Where am I going to do with it? Take it into the present. Take it into the present. You have it. Think of what we did in Sunday school. Now. Now you have it. Now, Colossians. Colossians in chapter 2. And you'll notice, Colossians in chapter 2. May I go directly, if I can, in the light of what we read in Romans chapter 6 on our crucifixion. Verse 12, 2:12 Colossians. Buried with him in baptism, death, burial, and resurrection. Wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation, God's doing, operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, Christ crucified and risen. Verse 13, and since that is done, past, finished. Verse 13, and you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened. We were dead yesterday. Today, no more, we're alive. Eternal life, eternal Father. There's no time to it. It's timeless. Timeless. God took us from being in time. God took us and saves us into God's wonderful timelessness, his eternity, here and now. Therefore, verse 12, 13, Then hath he quickened, made us alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. When did he forgive you? When he died on the cross. When you received him as your Savior here and now, all of that became yours. Why? Because it's finished. It isn't something that has to be done, something that needs to be done. You have already been, it's finished. God has already forgiven it. Do you understand? That's why we don't say, God, forgive my sins, please. Why don't we say, God, forgive my sins, please? Because my sins have already been what, dear friends? We did it last week. Forgiven. And you're saying something, God looks at you and say, I already gave you what you need. I already did it. Oh, God, I didn't understand that you did it. I need to understand. It's finished. God can't forgive my sins because he already did what? Forgave my sins. I need to understand that. It's an awesome thing to exercise. I'm exercising it. All of yesterday's gone, but what God did yesterday made possible my wonderful now. There's the little one for 2023. That's all gone, 22. This is what you're doing the first day of it right now. Why? You can do it as a saved person and believer and put this together properly and enjoy it, or as an unsaved person and you just go through another pages, and if you live that long, then you put that aside and have a new one. But one day you're not going to get any more. Not going to get any more. Now, happy you said that. God has done a wonderful thing in forgiving us. And in the light of that, where you're in 2 Corinthians, there, and in 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, you recall, we are to go and, do it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and look at it. Why not? I want to remind myself. It's a new year. I don't want to try to think, and maybe I won't even think of it rightly. Chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God has done a wonderful thing in saving me, and he already did it yesterday, so I can enjoy it today, a unique relationship to God, to receive him as my Savior. Christ, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Now, and so therefore, God has given me all the gift. He's the giver. He's the gift, and he has given it to me. And I am to understand God has given me a unique relationship by his death, burial, and resurrection. And I am, all my sins have been forgiven. And 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation, Jew, Gentile, and now the church of God. Therefore, I am, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, they're all gone. That's the word used of a new heavens and a new earth, Revelation 21. God's going to take the heavens and the earth and get rid of them. A new one. New. When did it become new? When you received him as your Savior. God made all of that. Remember what you read in Romans 6 and verse 4. You're to walk in newness of life, 4 and 5. Newness of life. A wonderful new relationship to God, to go down the corridor of time, not in time, in his timelessness. In time. Because we said we did it with a map. I don't want to confuse everybody. You probably wouldn't confuse them. You know. Go on. I'll do a little. Here's a map of our world. And you and I can see the whole map at once. God sees everything all at once. There is no time to God. Everything is now. The same as I can look at the map and see everything, Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, England, I can see it all at once. All of it's happening. There is no We have a here and now. Wherever you are, I'm right here in Connecticut. I'm right here. See? That's what I see. That's where I am. But if I stand back and see it from God's position, God sees me and you right now in this big picture. That's how God sees you. Now, there is no past. There is no present. There's only now. And God already sees the finished. He already sees everything. Your birth, your death, everything. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so all things have passed away, everything has become new in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So having said that, so therefore all things. So we want to go. So we don't wrongly continue in the past. We don't want to do that. And we don't want to live in the past. We don't want to do that. And we don't want to carry our yesterdays without even thinking about it. We do. We carry our yesterdays. And if we don't handle that properly, it becomes an overload. Becomes an overload on top of you. And you don't even know it. Because you keep piling up all the yesterdays. When I was 10, if this happened to me, I understand the horrible things that can happen. But they're all gone, like we did in time. It all can't hold it. It all disappears. All disappears. But that which we hang on to gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And we don't even know it. And it cripples us. Cripples us. We don't understand freedom to run. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. We got the weights, and we don't run very well. Now, the race that is set before us. Now, having said that, so therefore, God has to help us. And we walk by faith. If you're here, you're already in 2 Corinthians. Well, you may be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, you will notice in verse 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, in this body, we are absent from the Lord. We're here, but we aren't there. Now, how do we live like that? For we walk by faith, by means of faith, trusting God, honoring God's word, honoring what's happening. Why he did, why he died, why he rose again, why I received him as my Savior, why I have eternal life, why I have God and all of his gifts, the gift in his Son. We walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident as we live a moment, next moment, the next moment, the next day, the next week, the next month. As we live, we are confident, and I say willing rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. We're waiting. That's waiting. What are we waiting for? For God to finish the now. Now, he's already seen your birth before you were ever created. Your birth. Your adult life. Your life on planet Earth. Called water. Your life on planet Earth, here you are. And tomorrow hasn't even come yet, but it's coming. You can't stop it. You can't change it. It's going to happen. You can't stop the clock. You can't measure time. We're caught in the movement of now. God's wonderful now. In other words, God sees the whole thing. Back to the thing. God sees the whole thing, where you are, but where you were, where you went, when you weren't even there, God sees you. And that's how you see yourself here, this second. God has you on the whole thing, your whole person. That's God now. Say now, but it is, it's the way it is now. Keeping that in mind if I can. And God's willing. So therefore, Therefore, we ought to go, in God's wonderful grace, to walk by faith. And we walk on solid ground. Why do we walk on solid ground? Because God did it. God is God. There is no other. And you can do whatever you want, say whatever you want. You can't make one of those flowers. You couldn't make one in 1,000 years. If you had the greatest lab in the world, a Chinese lab, you got it? Chinese lab, you can't do it. God did it. And no one can make your body, which is so super duper, beyond understanding, all your 12 nervous systems precisely functioning right now. Everything moving at rapid light speed. We can't even tell you the speed. Your little opening in your stomach is what, every eighth of a second or something to let the food in to the small intestine, whatever it is. Marvelous. You don't do a thing about it. You just enjoy its God's creation of it. And you need to understand that. God has done that. There's no way to bypass your God. There's no way to get around it. God, I've got to understand. I walk by faith and not by sight. I look to you, God. You have to work it out in the most wonderful, wonderful way. And God, in your, it's solid ground. It isn't weak. It isn't wishy-washy, sloppy, quicksand. We're talking about solid stuff to understand. All the rest of it we can imagine and dream and philosophize about and talk about and whatever you want to do. But when you're done, facts are facts. And you don't make things true. God does. You don't believing in all, you know all this thing. If you believe 1,000 million oomps, heavy, lots of belief, you don't make one thing true. You can't make anything true. All you can do is believe. That's all you can do. Now, keeping that in mind, so we're going to look to God, learn. We need to learn from yesterday, and we need to go forward. It's God's word, God's will, God's work, God's workmanship, and we need to go. And if we will learn from it, then we can go forward, or else we repeat. We repeat. Here's the 2022. And you're going to repeat in 2023, this year. You're going to try to repeat, to do the same thing. You never learn. You never learn. You never grow. You think of the clock, if you would, the clock which was in London, excuse me, in Akron, Ohio, and the big city clock on the tower up there, and the years ago. Years ago, and they had the clock and people that take care of all those things. And a spider was up there, weaved his web, tried to do his web on that big clock. And that big clock, so the people that took care of the clock were interested in the spider trying to build his web around the clock that keeps moving. And the clock keeps moving, and the clock would destroy the web. And they do it. Now, they don't know when the spider started, but they do know they timed it 21 years. And 21, that's a long time, 21 years, whatever it was, the spider and spiders kept building, and it never failed. And then finally, well, they went out and there was no more web. The spider quit. He discovered after 21 years, whatever it was, he discovered what a useless thing I was doing. You and I are persons going down the corridor of time, and we do everything, 2022, 2023, we repeat it, and repeat it, and repeat it, and repeat it. And when we're done, where do we end up and what do? We got older, wiser, maybe. What do? We went down the corridor of time, and we kept repeating it. The spider had to wake up. I want to wake up. I don't want to wait 21 years as a spider. I want to learn. This is no place to try to lock yourself in. Spider, the clock. Here we are on planet Earth. I'm in this body. I got my little house, my car, and whatever I got. I got it, and I live in it. I'm going to live in it another year, another year, another year, another year. That's what I'm doing. I have to understand. I'm going to leave the body. I bring nothing in. I take nothing out. I am made of the dust of the earth. It isn't meant to stay. 1 Corinthians 15, no flesh and blood can inherit the kingdom of God. It has to go. I have to keep going. I'm made for eternity. I'm made for eternity, for God. What am I going to do? I spent all my time being earthly, not enjoying why I was on planet Earth, to enjoy a most wonderful relationship to God's holy, happy, heavenly, wonderful person. I just missed it. I missed the whole thing. I went down the corridor, and I looked at the politics and all of it, religions and everything. They're all there. They aren't going to go anywhere. They're all going to go the same as this calendar. And every man you see at the top sitting on the throne is going to disappear. And they're all going to disappear. The pharaohs disappeared, and the Chinese disappear, dictators, and everybody else. They're all going. They're going to go. It's the way it is. It looks like they're now. But their now answers to God's now. Now, having said that a little bit, we need to learn from yesterday and not repeat it. Over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians and chapter 10. And you will note in the middle of it, in the light of the context, chapter 10 and in verse 13. There hath no temptation, test, trial, being put to the proof. There hath no temptation, test, taken you, but such as is common. All of the things are common. People get all kinds of things. We all live in the same kind of body, same kind of systems, and we face the same environment, whatever it is, as it is. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted, tested, proved above that which you're able. God will never put you through that which you were never meant to do. And if God puts you through it, in it, God will keep you in it. If God lets it happen, God's going to finish it. That's what you know. As a believer, you know that. Wow. But that you're able, but with the temptation, the test also, make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it and work through it. That's why all things work, Romans 8, 28. All things work together for what? For good. To them that love God. That's why. That's why it has to work out. God will never do more than what you can handle. And if you get it, then you need to live through it and roll up your sleeves and work through it. God help us now. Having said that a little bit, so God in the process of looking to you and understanding your wonderful faithfulness, and we need to be educated, that's 1 Corinthians 10:13. All the temptations, the tests, the trials, the troubles, they're all there. And as we're exercised by them, we're educated. What are we educated about? We're to have our experiences to develop and to grow and to understand. So therefore, as we're looking over to Romans chapter 5, God is going to exercise us. So then the process that we can move forward in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And remember, you know, from we did it last time of that, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34, God said, sufficient, it's enough evil, trouble you have today. Don't add tomorrow's to it. And don't try to carry yesterday's. You got enough. Leave yesterday with God. And don't try to take on tomorrow. enough today. God is faithful in the middle of it to get you through it. And that's what you're doing, looking to God, thankfully, 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 looking to God in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way. And therefore, God, in the midst of all of that, in the midst of all of that evil and coming, God. So here's our presence. And we therefore, we need to live in the presence of God. We need to leave. We need to leave yesterday. All gone. No matter how you cut the cookie, you can't get back 10 seconds ago in your life. If I go back 10 seconds, which I couldn't, the 10 seconds are all gone. You can never have them back again. You just close your eyes for a minute, understandably. When you open them, it's all gone. You can never have what you just lost in that second. It's all gone. Can't have it back. No. So therefore, God, help us. So therefore, over to Philippians in the light of our present. God, I have to leave the past with God. With God. Why am I going to leave the past with God? Because he died on the cross and crucified, took me to the cross and gave me a wonderful life by dying for me, taking my place on Calvary's cross. He gives me a wonderful, wonderful life. And what am I going to do? I'm going to have to leave all of every second of yesterday and yet last year and 100 years from now, yesterday's. I have to leave them with God, who knows my now, who knows. Here I am in the middle of this map, right here in Connect City in the church. God already has the big picture. God's looking at the big picture of you. God sees you 1,000 years from now. That's what he says. So this moment is but a moment in the light of the whole picture. And God, you and I are looking at the moment, trying to read time and go. God's looking at now, and it's always now. And we just did that. Now. It's my now. My now is in the light of this now. My now here, our now, is in the light of this now. Wow. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, Philippians and in chapter 1. And in Sunday school, I think we were at the end, and I said Ezekiel chapter 1, I started it. I never went anywhere. I don't know. Anyway, this is Philippians chapter 1, picking up in the light of the present moment. What are we going to do? We got to leave the past with the Lord who took care of or has taken care of all of it. So that's how I'm going to go. No matter good, bad, much, little, easy, hard, I leave every single day, second. God, you got it. Thank you for your grace, your forgiveness, and your saving, wonderful ability. Now, Philippians chapter 1 and in verse 20. Listen to Paul. According to my earnest, he's in jail. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now, also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or death. What's the basis for that reason? For to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. All we're doing is exercising God's wonderful, wonderful life, his wonderful, wonderful plan. He saved you. You were born on planet Earth. You were given the right to be born spiritually. You took advantage of it and got saved. The minute you got saved, God's wonderful, wonderful the reality of being saved, the gift of God, the giver of God, the now. So here I am now. I'm saved. Eternity. I'm saved for eternity. I'm saved for God's timelessness right now. I'm saved. I'm only living in this one spot, but I belong in the fulfillment of all of it, all that God has in mind. A new body, a new heart, a new everything is waiting for me. It's already now. It isn't going to be then. We use the word, we have to understand it from my human standpoint, but it already is. I'm already home. I'm already saved. That's why we shared in Sunday school, in I am the resurrection and the life, John 11:25-26. And then he said, I am that right now. And Martha, Mary, Martha, if you believe, you'll never die right now. Because now, my now, is your now. That's why you'll never happen. So therefore, in verse 22, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet, what shall I choose? I want not. I don't make the choice. God does in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So I'm able to look to God, to able to do, to exceeding abundantly about all that I ask or think. And I'm able to go forward in a most wonderful way. God has the whole thing in his hands. He has the whole thing. I haven't got to 2023 very much, and neither have you. But 2023 is nothing, because I live in now. I don't care about the calendar. I have to use it. We have to go by it. But it isn't about here. It isn't about 2023. It's about my enjoyment, like the spider and the clock. I want to exercise my wonderful, wonderful being a new creature in Christ. I want to work out my wonderful being saved, Philippians 2:12. I want to work out being new and wonderful. Old things have passed away. Everything has become new. I've been forgiven. I have an awesome movement to go forward, even though everything is what it is. But it all is subject to change. And it must become and finished. My now, right now, must finish in his now. My now, your now, your now, right now, must finish in his now. Now. Our Father and God, we thank you for your kindness and grace. And as we seek to try to understand, remind ourselves of all that really, really what it's about when we're all said and done. God, we can lay in that casket and understand being dead a little bit from a human standpoint. But God, we have to understand that you literally, 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 wonderfully went and terminated everything about us and in us that would take away our enjoyment, our experience of our relationship to you. You have made it clear. You have satisfied yourself, and we are made holy in order to enjoy your wonderful person. And our God, we thank you. You said, told us, be ye holy, because you're holy. And God, only you could change us and give us this unique opportunity, privilege, to be new creatures in Christ. God, leaving yesterday, no matter who, what, when, where, it's all gone. We must move forward into your now, in the light of our now. And our God will thank you in Christ's name. Amen.